tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
It's Kristen, your technical tabby here at the podcast, jumping in to let you know that this is going to be part one of a special two-part tutorial, Drop Traps, a Trapper's Best Friend, was presented by our friends at Neighborhood Cats back in June. In this first session, we're going to cover the basics, what drop traps are, why they matter in TNR, and how to finally nab those hard-to-catch cats. You'll hear the familiar voice of Brian Cordes, National Programs Director at Neighborhood Cats, as he walks you through the gear, setup, and strategy behind selective trapping. You'll also learn why cats respond differently to these traps and get practical tips to stay safe and make those smooth transitions once you've got your kitty contained. Whether you're brand new to TNR or looking to boost your trapping success, this episode will help you feel confident putting those drop traps to work. Next week, we'll bring you part two of the workshop. Then your ears will be back in host Stacey LeBaron's court with more fascinating interviews. If you'd like to watch the full recording of the Drop Trap webinar, you can find it at communitycatspodcast.com/TNR training. All right, let's get into the episode.
Hey, everybody. This is Kristen from the Community Cats Podcast. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to introduce our fantastic speakers, who I'm sure a lot of you guys know. In the background, answering all of your burning questions is Susan Richmond. Susan is the executive director of Neighborhood Cats, having served in that role since 2010. She oversees hands-on TNR programs in New York City, Jersey City, and on the island of Maui, as well as using her prior Madison Avenue advertising experience to write, among other things, crowdfunding appeal to help the many sick and injured cats who come Neighborhood Cats' way. One of her favorite projects currently is a veterinary scholarship program designed to train community cat-oriented vets on high-volume, high-quality spay-neuter techniques. Those wet labs are amazing. So if you get a chance to look into any of what Susie's working on there, do check it out. When she's not in the office, you can find Susie out in the fields of Maui, where she recently passed the 1,000 cats trapped mark. And I feel like we've been saying that for a while, so you must be on 1,000 and many at this point. Next, I'd like to introduce Brian. Brian is the speaker you're going to be hearing from today. He serves as Neighborhood Cats' National Program Director and Susie Richmond's husband. Back in 1999, while working in Manhattan as both an attorney and a video director, Brian co-founded Neighborhood Cats after TNRing a colony near where he lived. Except for a six-year stint as a grants manager for PetSmart Charities, he has been with the organization ever since. He's authored or co-authored handbooks on grassroots TNR, community TNR, and return to field programs. You can always find him online, where he regularly presents both basic and advanced webinars, just like this one, on all things trap, neuter, return in partnership with the Community Cats Podcast. And we are so grateful he shares his great big brain with us. So with that, Brian, I'm going to go ahead and turn this show over to you.
Thank you so much, Kristen. And thanks everybody for taking time out today to learn about the drop trap and hopefully make yourselves more effective trappers, even better than some of you already are. Okay, so let's get started. What is a drop trap? And it always reminds me of the old people propping up a box, or at least the myth of people propping up a box on a stick and waiting till the animal they wanted went under it and then pulling a string. Well, it's really nothing more complicated than that. This is actually what it looks like. This is originally manufactured by Tomahawk Live Trap. This is the model GT1. It's 3 feet by 3 feet and 14 inches high. And the basic parts of the drop trap that we'll be talking about today are the side door. So that's how the cat gets out. You get the cat out of the drop trap. You'll transfer into a regular, what we call box trap, you know, the rectangular ones that we're used to. There's an anchor flap, and that's where you put something heavy so that after you catch kitty, he can't drag the trap away. And the prop stick in front is what holds the trap up, and a string is attached to it. And then you pull that string and the drop trap falls down. And this model folds up, like you can see on the right of your screen there, into like a suitcase style. So it's very easy to transport. So why would we want to use drop traps versus box traps? And the main reason is because cats are much less wary of entering them. So you see here a kitty who's, you know, the bait's in the trap, everything's been set up, but, you know, she's just not having it. And this is a kitty who may require multiple attempts or multiple days without going without food before you'll get her hungry enough to go in. So cats have a natural wariness of entering this a box trap like you see here. Because it's long, it's narrow, they generally can see that there's only one way in and out. And that's why they have to be hungry in order to go in, to get them to go in. So with a drop trap, they're going under something, not into something, and they have a lot less fear. And, you know, why is that? We don't know exactly. I suspect it's because under a drop trap, a cat can, you know, see exits on three of the four sides that are raised. And so there's much less concern about being caught there. As a result of their being less frightened of drop traps, they don't need to be as hungry to get them to go in as you would with a box trap. So you can do things like outsmart uncooperative feeders, you know, who won't stop feeding. If you drop trap, you know, an hour or two prior to their normal feeding time, as long as the cats haven't eaten that day, they're typically going to go in. Now, there's always exceptions that take a little more work, but the vast majority of cats, if they haven't eaten that day and it's getting near the normal meal time, they'll just march right under the drop trap without a second thought. So if you can withhold food, you know, of course, that makes it a little easier to get them to go in. So what would we use drop traps for? There's a number of uses. This is not a complete list, but you can do what we call selective trapping. And that's where there's a particular cat or cats that you want to catch, but not the other ones. So if a cat shows up pregnant and you want to catch her right away, or maybe you have a mom with a litter of kittens, a cat that might be sick or injured, a common use of drop traps are those last colony cats who you haven't gotten fixed yet, or newcomers for that matter, but intact cats. And you may have a colony of like 12 cats and one of them is still not spayed or neutered. So that would be a great time to use a drop trap, because you decide who you catch. It's not whoever goes in, it's who you are after. We mentioned cats who won't go into a box trap, no matter how hard you try. We often use them to finish up a mass trapping. A mass trapping is when you're TNRing an entire colony at one time. So what we used to do is we go to our colony of 12 cats and we put out our traps and we catch, say, 9 of them on day one. Well, we pack up after a while. If the last three just weren't showing any interest, and we'd come back the next day when they would be another day hungrier and try again. Well, with a drop trap, we don't have to wait for the next day. When we're done with the box traps and the cats are hanging around but not going in, we'll break out the drop trap and we can usually catch at least a couple of them before the first night is done. Some trappers, as we saw in the poll, use this as their trap of choice, and they don't use box traps except to transfer cats out of the drop trap, and they do all their trapping with just a drop trap. So how to actually unfold the drop trap and assemble it, I'm not going to spend time on that because there's a great video. If you just click on the link in this slide, it will take you to Tomahawk's. It's like a 5-minute video, but I can assure you it's, once you've done it a couple of times, it takes maybe 2 or 3 minutes. That's all. You basically unfold the bottom, you put the top on, and then you attach the spring clips to the roof. That's it. But have a look at that video instead of trying to figure it out yourself for the first time. It'll literally 5 minutes and you'll know how to do it. So to get us started, I wanted to show you an actual drop trapping in action, because then what we talk about after that, I think, will make a lot more sense to you. So this is a kitty. You see him in this slide, who Susie and I helped manage a colony that at the time that this kitty showed up, Tonka, he was about, I don't know, at that point, maybe a 6 or 7 month old kitten, maybe a little older. The rest of the colony was all spayed neutered. He showed up one day. So perfect situation for a drop trap, right? Because we don't want to catch anyone else. We just want to catch him. So we're going to show you the steps from, you know, setting up the trap to getting him out of the drop trap. One thing you'll notice is that there's a very large plate of bait that's being used. And the reason for that is because it was a large colony. It was like 20 cats. And when you're doing selective trapping, you need to make sure there's enough food for all the cats to go in and have a bite. And there's still something left for your kitty. You don't want to, in the middle of all this, have to go out and replenish the bait. So that will explain, it didn't work out that we needed to do that in this case, but that explains why you'll see this giant plate of food. Okay, so let's get to the video. And here we are, trapping Wonka. Okay, and you may have been wondering, why did Susie pull the string when she did? And that's because she was waiting, she was hoping to get Wonka to go to get his tail inside the, into the drop trap to make sure that it wouldn't fall down on his tail. But then that big orange cat showed up and he's quite a voracious eater. So she kind of ran out of time to wait. Plus what we've seen over time is that when a cat initially reacts to the trap dropping, their initial move is forward. And that's what happened. He kind of took a mini leap forward and got his tail out of the path. So that's what was happening there. So moving along, I want to emphasize for those of you who are new to this, it's a great tool, but you don't want to use it for the very first time on the cat that, you know, the mom cat you've been after for 5 years, not until you've practiced it at least once. And because it's not a complicated method, but the first time you do it, it's going to feel like there's a lot of things you could do wrong. Like when to drop the trap and the transfer out are the most fraught parts. After you've done it once or twice, it won't be. You'll know it. But that first time, again, you don't want to realize you made a basic mistake on that kitty that you're after for so long. So practice on a cat you've already trapped and do the transfer and just let him go or update his vaccinations. You can even try on your pet cat. Just give them a big treat afterwards, and they will forgive you, I assure you. When we prepare for drop trapping, it's the same as regular trapping in that we want to have a feeding pattern. So we knew that where Wonka, his colony is, they eat at dusk every night. So we showed up with the drop trap. So at that time of year, maybe it was 6 p.m. So we were all set up by 5:30, and just a matter of them waiting for him. But that's a lot easier than we have no idea when he's going to show up because there's food out all the time. So you want to have a feeding pattern that you can predict when the cats are going to be there, and then you can show up before it and set up. If you can withhold food that's for 24 hours, that's great. They'll be even hungrier. They'll go in even faster. But generally, you can move ahead with a drop trapping session as long as they haven't eaten that day. And you can even try to drop trap if they have eaten that day. If you put something really smelly, like sardines or something like that, that's not as sure a thing. But some cats, as I say, will have no fear and they'll just smell something tasty and go in to check that out. You want to scout the location. The things you're looking for are good visibility. You need to be able to see the trap, obviously, so you know when to pull. You want a flat surface, unless you're using what we call a drop trap pad, which we'll talk about later. But generally, if you don't have a pad, you need the ground to be even so that the cat can't get out under any dips or little crevices or things like that. You want to do it near the feeding area. Think about the fact you're going to have to transfer out of the drop trap, so you want enough room to the side so you can put your transfer cage or your box trap. Now you can, if you're in a tight spot and you've limited about the angle and things like that, you can't get enough room to the side, that's okay. You can slowly, after you catch the cat, you can slowly rotate the drop trap into a better position for yourself. Easier not to do that if you have a choice. And make sure you don't put the drop trap near a curb or some kind of edge where the drop trap could be dragged over it, and that would create an opening for the cat to slip out under. This is a basic equipment list for you. Obviously, you need the drop trap, a string, heavy object, something to cover the drop trap with. You want a bowl that is not breakable. Sometimes these cats do freak out after they've been trapped and they start running back and forth, and you don't want something that they can knock over and break, like glass or ceramic, something like that. You need your box traps. You're going to need sheets for covering them. The box traps need to have a guillotine-style rear door so you can transfer into. Optional are binoculars just to help you see better. And if you can bring a second person, that can be very helpful. Now, a tip from a past one of these workshop attendees gave us this tip, Helen Woods of Laurel Cats. She is a stunt kite flyer as well as a trapper, and she introduced us to the concept of what's called elongation, and that's how much a rope will stretch, and that's especially at a distance. And that's very important with drop trapping, because if you have something like a cotton string and it stretches a lot, it means you have to pull harder and you have to move your arm further. Whereas if you have a rope that doesn't stretch at all you have to do is snap your wrist and there's a lot less room for error. So according to Helen, this, what you're seeing here, this 3/16 inch braided, important that it's braided apparently, a black Dacron, not, doesn't have to be black, but Dacron rope is the best out there that has the less stretch. You can put it on a winder or spool the rope around a stick. If you don't do that, then your rope is going to end up in a tangled mess. So wrap it around something.
When we launched the Community Cats podcast, our goal was simple: share stories and strategies to help cat lovers turn their passion into action. But something amazing happened. Our community grew, and so did our mission. Over the years, we've added webinars, conferences, certification courses, downloadable tools, and a whole lot more to support people who care about cats. So it's time for our name to reflect everything we do. The podcast isn't going anywhere, but our overall platform is rebranding as Community Cat Central. It's the same team, the same heart, and the same commitment, just with a fresh new look and even better ways to help you take action for cats in your community. You'll start seeing updates soon, including a brand new website, smarter email tools, and resources that are easier to access and use. We're so grateful to have you on this journey with us, and we can't wait to show you what's next. In a recent study, 97% of respondents said that pets are family. Communities can play a vital role in helping to keep families together, whether it's reuniting lost pets with their owners, donating pet supplies or funds for pet owners in need, or offering short or long-term fostering. People can help keep pets and their people together. We just have to show them how. Did you know there are resources you can use to help bring attention to the programs you offer to help them do just that? From public service announcements, short videos, printable posters, online and social graphics, and much more. Find your resources at www.petsandpeopletogether.org/campaign-resources. #BeAHelper. Tomahawk Live Trap exceeds customers' expectations by providing them with the highest quality humane animal control products available. Check out their new Pro Series Gravity Door Trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com.
So, step one, once you've got your drop trap set up, is you're going to bait the trap. As I mentioned before, if you're selective trapping, you're going to put a lot of bait in there. Non-breakable. Try some. You can go one of two ways. There's two schools of thought. One school of thought is to put something very enticing, like tuna or sardines, like you would with a box trap. Another school of thought is just use the cat's regular food, because since they're not afraid of going under, you want to keep things as normal as possible. So we've tried both, depending on the colony. And you could just experiment with that. Probably either way will work. You're going to put the bowl in this slide. You can see the cats were used to dry food, so the trapper just put their regular dry food in the back. You want to put it in the center of the back, and then you can lightly, and I emphasize the word lightly, sprinkle a trail of bait to sort of give them a little path in. The last steps before you're actually going to trap, you're going to position, especially if you're alone, you want to make sure the box trap or transfer cage and the sheet that's going to cover it are within reach of the drop trap. Because think about it, you're by yourself, you drop the trap, you run over, you cover it up. You don't want to have to then go run all the way back to get your box trap. You want that within arm's reach, especially if kitty is bouncing around in there and you've got your foot on top. So once you've got that, you can move far enough away. That rope that we just showed you, the Dacron, that's 100 feet. You probably don't have to go that far most of the time. You can be hidden like you saw Susie was in the car and only about maybe, 15 feet away. Or you could go quite a distance and use binoculars, whatever works. Have the blanket by your side that you're going to, or sheet that you're going to use to cover the drop trap. Make sure you hold the string taut. Like I say, you want to be able to just snap your wrist. You don't want to have to make a big pull of your arm. And then the biggest thing is just be patient. Don't just wait until the right moment. And we'll talk about that right now. What is the right moment? So in this scenario, the kitty we were after is the one you see in the red circle, which is the the black and white cat. So the one in the trap's already fixed. You might have noticed his ear tip, but she was not. So that's who we're after. And this is a good thing, actually, in trapping. When the cat you're after, you're probably after her because she's a little shyer, a little more wary. Maybe she's not going to just march right in, but she sees another cat eating and she's going to see him walk out and everything will be fine. And that can be very encouraging and make her feel safe about doing it herself. So now she's in, and this is probably the most kind of important moment when it comes to judgment, which is when do you pull the string, right? This is too soon. Why is that? I'm going to put in the answer to the questions box. Why is this too soon? Why would it be a mistake to pull the string at this very moment, even though she's got her head pretty close? She's not in far enough. That's part of it. Tail is outside. That's true. Hind leg could be caught. Probably not. Like I say, they tend to leap forward. She's not relaxed enough. Okay, yeah, that Caitlin nailed it. She's not relaxed enough. You're going to see some shots where it's amazing how quickly cats can move. And she's still in a tense position. And you want her to be totally relaxed. You want her to be thinking about the food and absorbed and eating it. You don't want her to be tense because it just takes that extra split second for them to get out. So this is too soon. And also her tail is sticking out. But basically the main thing is her body. You can tell by her body posture that she's not relaxed. And the thing is, it's better for her to get out without you pulling the string than for you to pull the string and miss. Because now if you miss, you've taught her the drop trap is not a safe place, and that's a lot worse. It's much better just to be patient, wait until they're fully relaxed, and if they skitter out in the meantime, don't worry about it. As long as the trap didn't drop, they will most likely be back pretty soon. We've seen cats do that. We've seen cats come up to the bowl. Like, did you notice with Wonka, how initially he went over to the dish and he grabbed a bite and pulled back a little bit? Sometimes they do that. They grab a bite and they go all the way out of the trap. But if nothing happened, they come back and they do it again. And eventually they get relaxed about it. So this would be the time to pull. See, her tail is in, her body posture is relaxed. She's actually engaged. She's not about to eat. She is eating. So this is the moment of truth. And again, it's better to err on the side of not pulling than pulling too soon. And look at this. I included this slide because look, the string was pulled. Look how quickly she's moving and notice where the red arrow is. The trap hasn't even hit the ground yet. And she's right at the edge of the trap trying to escape. And that's why timing is so important. So once you've caught your kitty, you want to go over and cover as quickly as possible. It's just like with a regular box trap. The covering the cats calms them down. And so notice in this slide how the transfer cage over to the right there, the bottom right of your slide. So that's within easy reach of the trapper. If there's more than one, sometimes you'll trap more than one cat. You know, if you've got two in there that you're after, you might as well just trap them at the same time. The danger with multiple cats in the drop trap is that one cat alone can't raise the trap up and then get out from under. But if there are two cats, one of them might pop the trap up and the other one skitter out through an opening that appears for a split second underneath. So when you have multiple cats in the trap, you need to get over there real quick and get your foot on top of it and wait for them to calm down. Another good reason to have a second person with you if you can, because then you can just have one person standing there holding the trap down. Now you're going to do the transfer. Once Kitty is covered up and they've calmed down a bit, they're not trying to drag the trap across the field. So you're going to line up the rear door of the box trap with the side door of the drop trap, right? And just a tip from somebody who learned the hard way, there's often a temptation, I never do this anymore, but I was drop trapping a cat who they were from what we called the gopher colony because they lived underground. And you would only see them when they would pop their heads up. It was by a beach and they were underneath an abandoned beach house. And I had a drop trap from at least a couple hundred yards away in my, I had the super long string and a pair of binoculars and I was in my car and I would drop trap a cat and then I would literally drive up to the drop trap. It was so far away. So I figured, well, as long as I have the box trap that I'm going to transfer in nearby, I might as well set it, right? In case Kitty goes into that instead of the drop trap. Well, unfortunately, in the heat of the moment after I had caught the cat in the drop trap, I forgot that I had set the box trap. And when I did the transfer, lo and behold, Kitty went sprinting across the field because he ran out the front door. So I don't set box traps anymore near that are going to be used for transfer. But if you do, make sure you check that the front door of the box trap is closed. The spring clips, the drop trap now has spring clips on either side of the side door that are just meant for hooking on to the box trap. And this will prevent the box trap from shifting in creating a large opening that the cat can slip through. So make sure you attach them. Don't attach them too tightly because otherwise, if the box trap is pressed up against the drop trap too closely, you won't be able to raise the side door. But don't skip this step because it's just a basic prevent and escape kind of step. So when you're doing the transfer, the basic psychology of this is that you're covering the sides of the box trap, but you're not covering the end of it so that when the cat looks out, they see daylight. Like, did you notice with Wonka, when he looked out through the box trap, he could see daylight. He could see the rest of the parking lot there. So never cover the end. But if you can cover the sides and cover the drop trap too, the most you can and stay out of sight and just wait, I would say 9 out of 10 times, the cat on his own will run into the box trap and then you just have to slide the door down behind them. And just to give you a better idea, because we were pulling the sheets back and stuff in order to get a good shot of the process so you could see what this looked like. But in reality, when you're covering up the traps, it's going to look more like this. You see what I mean? So the cat really can't see me standing there. And I'm just looking through a little sliver of an opening to watch him try to catch him going into the box trap and know when to shut the door, which it looks like in this case I had just done. So after the cat goes in, you're going to first shut the box trap door. And then if you have more than one cat in the drop trap, make sure you shut the drop trap door. Don't pull the box trap away. Obviously, if there's another cat inside the drop trap without shutting the side door, you're going to release the spring clips, fully cover the box trap. And if there is another cat or cats inside the drop trap, you're going to repeat this process one at a time. One of the things you want to bring with you, if it's not on that equipment list, I think it was, is a trap divider. So if more than one cat runs into the box trap at the same time, you can use the trap divider to separate them and then transfer into another trap when you're in a safer enclosed area. So what if the cat won't move? Like I said, it's 9 times out of 10, they will, but what do you do that 10th time? So there's a number of techniques, depending whether you're alone or not. If you're alone, and especially if the cat is feral cats, like they like to be covered when they're confined. So they tend to move from light to dark, meaning if they're exposed, they'll move towards a covered area. So if you're standing there at the side door, you can start to pull the blanket covering the drop trap towards you slowly, and that the cat will naturally move with the blanket in order to stay undercover and then move into the box trap. That's what works most of the time. If you do have a second person with you, that person can bend down at the far end of the drop trap, at the end furthest away from the side door, and just pull the sheet up and stare at the cat. And they'll usually go running in the opposite direction into the box trap. You could also, if you're really desperate and you have that second person, you could use a little mister or spray bottle, because cats hate water. They'll run away from it. You could slowly move an object like a stick towards the cat. You don't want to touch the cat. You just want them to want to get away from the object. At the very least, what you can do is just wait. And that will work every time. But then it's on the cat's schedule, not yours. But if you just wait, you're patient, sooner or later, they will go on. They will go in. I think the longest I've ever had to wait was maybe 10 or 15 minutes when nothing else worked. So not that big a deal. There is a tool now that's called drop trap dividers that's available at Tomahawk Live Trap. And there's the link to that page. And you can see there are trap dividers that two of them span the width of the drop trap. And you can use those to slowly move your cat towards the box trap. So if you want to get pretty fancy, you might have a pair of those in your car and use those if nothing else is working and you don't feel like waiting. Okay, so those are the basics. And we're going to kind of take a quick quiz here. Not anything you have to write. You can just put your answers in the question box. And this is Farley the Feral. And we've decided we're going to drop trap him. So you're all in position. You're about to pull the string. But what's wrong with this picture? And you could put your answers in the question box. Facing the wrong way. Yep, that's right. The bait is in the center of the trap. That's correct too. Anything else? There's one other thing. Facing the wrong direction is correct, and the bowl's in the right place. The bowl's in the wrong place. It's not in the back of the center. It's in the middle. He's chasing the string. That's true. But there's one other problem with this picture. Dawn got it. It's a glass bowl, right? We don't want that. We don't want something breakable that the cat can potentially hurt himself with. Okay, so very good. You got all three. So here we go. Here's another setup, and we're getting ready to pull. This time the bowl is in the right position. It's not breakable, and he's all the way in, but obviously something wrong. On a pothole, there's an escape hole. Yes, okay, you're right. There's one other thing wrong. No weight on the flap. Okay, very good. You guys have been listening. I'm impressed. That's correct. There's no anchor weight. So even if there wasn't a pothole that our dear Farley could just get under, let's say you said, oh, you saw the pothole, so you moved the trap a couple of feet away from it. Without the anchor flap, Farley might be able to push the drop trap over far enough that it would become the trap would be over the pothole and he'd be able to get out. So those are the two things wrong with this picture. Okay, how about this one? Anything here? Cell phone screen too small. Cinder blocks. No, the blocks are okay. Looks good. Looks good. Okay, you guys got it. Very good. Yeah, it's a kind of a trick question. There's nothing wrong with this photo. Everything, you have your anchor flaps, you got your bowl. Farley's in the right position. The bowl's in the right position. There's no escape routes. So this would be the perfect time to pull the, and the string is taut. So this would be the perfect time to pull the string. And so we've got Farley, and he is now going to the vet, and we will return him once he's neutered. All right. So before we go to break and have our cat trivia, I wanted to show you one more video of a drop trapping. I feel like the more you see this, the more familiar you'll be with it when you're out in the field. And we'll have our break. We'll have cat trivia. And then when we come back, those of you who've done the 50 cats and more, we'll be getting into more advanced stuff that hopefully will add something to your arsenal. But I want to run this video by you because it's another example of selective trapping. And you see the black cat on the fence on the upper right of your slide. So this is a colony where all the cats were fixed. And this kitty showed up pregnant. So obviously we want to catch her and not get the other ones. So you'll see there's a big bowl of food in there and other cats are going in first. And we're just waiting for this cat to go under. And again, this is just so you can see another drop trapping in action. Okay. Here we go.
Hey, you three are going to pull the string.
What's up?
You're going to pull the string.
Okay, I'll say when.
Pull. Okay, and did you notice towards the end there that when as soon as Susie started to pull the blanket towards her, that's when the cat moved forward and went into the box trap. Okay, so at this point, Kristen, I'm going to hand it over to you.
All right, excellent. I hope you guys really like that first chunk of this presentation. The second part is equally as exciting, I promise you.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.